Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, now we start with the first prayer by the Vedas and see what they say. Tatra pratamato gyanani gyan adi guna gana sevitena sabyak darshana karanena bhakti yogena anubhuyamanam bhagavad akaram akandam eva tatvam swa pratipadyatvena darshayantyo brahmasarupam apita tatvena Prodi kurvanta shrutaya uchuhu.
The shrutis speak.
Darshayantiyo. What form is that? Darshayantiyaha. Darshayantiya. It's a present participle, feminine. First case plural. Showing the Akanda Tattvam in the form of Bhagawan. So the Shrutis first speak, presenting as the subject matter of their discourse the complete form of the personality of Godhead. That is, the personality of Godhead, he's the complete truth. This complete truth is experienced by means of devotional service. Devotional service is the cause of correctly perceiving him. And devotional service is assisted by the many virtues of knowledge and so on. And as they thus speak, the Shrutis are also acknowledging the Supreme Lord's identity as Brahman. Okay, one correction I have to make here. There's an extra word that had to be deleted. Okay, continuing. Hare Krishna. Here's the verse, the first verse. Jaya 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 jam achita dosha gribita gunam tvamasi yadatmana samavaruddha samasta bhaga aga jagad okasam akila shaktyava bodhakate kvachid ajayat mana chacharato nucharena nikamaha. Okay, now Jiva Goswami explains this. Well, first I'll read the translation. Victory, victory to you, O unconquerable one. By your very nature, you are perfectly full in all opulences. Therefore, please defeat the eternal power of illusion, which assumes control over the modes of nature to create difficulties for conditioned souls. Oh, you who awaken all the energies of the moving and non-moving embodied beings. Sometimes the Vedas can recognize you as you sport with your material and spiritual potencies. Okay, now explaining that, Jiva Goswami comments. Bo Ajita. Jaya, Jaya. Nija Otkarsham. Avish Kuru, victory to you, O unconquerable one. I'm sorry, I'm reading the verse, not the commentary. O unconquered one, be victorious. In other words, Please reveal your supremacy. Okay, that's what be victorious means. Because Supreme Lord doesn't have any enemies to be victorious over. But Jaya Jaya means please display your supremacy. Adare Vipsa. This repetition is to express great respect. What repetition? Yeah, Jaya said twice. To express great respect. Atra agiteti sambodhane dedam labhyate nama vyaharanam vishnur yatastad vishayamatihi iti nyayena namna bhagavan asau sapshad abhi mukhi kriyate. Where's that reference from? Namavyaharanam Vishnur. Do you have the reference for that? Sixth canto. Okay. Hear the address. O unconquered one, Ajita, implies that the name of the personality of Godhead is of his own spiritual nature. Eva tat shri vigrahavat tadapi tat swarupa bhutam eva bhavati tad vijatiena tad abhimukhi karana narha tvat. This repetition, hear the address, O unconquered one, implies that the name of the personality of Godhead is of his own spiritual nature, just as his divine body is. On the evidence of the argument presented in the words, by uttering the names of Vishnu, one's mind becomes focused on him. This indicates that the personality of Godhead is induced by the chanting of his name to show himself. Something that is different from him could not make him show himself. What does Jaya Jaya have to do with the Lord's names? I guess just, I don't know, they're just chanting his name and invoking victory just by chanting. So the chanting of his names is purely spiritual. Just like Narayanam Namaskritya Tato Jaya Mudirayit, we can announce our victory just by saying the name Narayan. You know, just the chanting of the name assures victory, because it's the name of Narayan is no different than Narayan. Please, what? Your what? Okay, but that's not what he's saying here. Your sweetness? Supremacy. Supremacy. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to see the connection with the reference to the implication that the name of the personality of Godhead is of his own spiritual nature. But I guess, well, let's see how I figured this out in the commentary. Well, I'm still a little confused. Anybody have an idea here? Why Jiva Goswami brings in the discussion of the name of the Lord being of his own spiritual nature?
Can it be that the very name Jaya is one of the...
Well, Jaya is not a name. Jaya is a verb, but Ajita is a name.
Ajita. But But maybe Jaya, or victorious one.
Jaya, like one who. But it's not being used as a name here, it's being used as a verb. Please be victorious. I don't think you could use it as a verb and have it be a name at the same time. No?
It can be
Kridanta. It can be a name somewhere else, but it can't Kridanta. Be both at the same time. It can't be a noun and a verb at the same time.
Like we have Jayaka, one who conquered. We have Jayaka, one who conquers.
Can be a noun, but not. Yeah. It can't function as both the noun and the verb in the same sentence. So the in this sentence it's adjective that's being used as a name.
Maybe because of addressing twice with great respect and then uttering the name, it helps us to concentrate on the name and that purifies the mind.
Yeah. I mean, there's a connection between the victory and the name. The name is announcing the victory. I'm sorry, it's hard to hear. Use the microphone.
Is it because he is Ajita, unconquered one?
Yes.
Therefore he is victorious, Jaya. And
Yes. But what, that makes sense. That's the meaning of the name. But Bajiva Goswami is saying that the very uttering, the name itself is spiritual. Not, so there's a difference between a word and what the word means. The name Ajita is an energy. The name itself is a thing. The word is a thing, it's a sound. But the sound has a meaning. The meaning is unconquerable. The fact that he's unconquerable is a reason why he's victorious. But now we're talking about the sound itself. The sound itself is spiritual. Anyway, both are there. What the word means, but the word itself has a potency. And abhinatvat nama namino, with the names of the Lord, the what is named and the name are the same. There's no difference.
Can it be like we have conquer or unconquerable? Like it's repetition of the same verbal root, and it really brings attention.
Jaya. Well, they all three, yeah, but Jaya and Ajita both come from the root G, yes.
Maybe because of that, because we are using three words in a row with the same verbal root, it helps us to concentrate more on the name?
Yes, it emphasizes the idea, yes. Yes. Let's try the commentary. In the realm of spiritual disciplines, the practice of devotional service is sovereign and independent. She can accomplish all its aims, but if it's just she, it should be her aims. Sorry. She can accomplish all her aims without depending on anything else. But bhakti sometimes graciously allows the disciplines of the cultivation of knowledge and of renunciation to assist her. Aspiring devotees are more certain in their dedication to bhakti when they know the scriptures well and keep away from materialistic temptations. So when devotees cultivate knowledge and renunciation, that makes them better devotees. The intelligence underlying the Vedas is imbued with pure devotion for the Supreme Lord. And so the sages who represent the Shrutis know well devotional service and how to explain it to various kinds of students. The Shrutis speak tactfully to materialists and impersonalists, telling them only what they are ready to hear. But to the rarer audience of persons seriously interested in serving the Supreme Lord, they reveal the most confidential truth, bhakti. As the Shrutis say in this first prayer, they envision the Supreme as possessing a full personality with all the opulences that attract living beings. Let's see. Samavaruda samasta bhagaha. You have captured all opulences. Okay? Whereas material nature is dosha gribita gunam. That's feminine accusative, referring to aja, or the material nature, assumes, gribita has assumed her qualities as faultily, imperfect qualities. But he's full of qualities, but those qualities are perfect. His bhagas. The Shrutis also recognize that he is the super soul in everyone's heart, the inspirer of all of their capabilities, and that the Nigama, or the Vedas, reveal him. He is the absolute truth discussed in the Upanishads. That's the third line. Aga Jagad Okasam. Of the non-moving and moving residents of the material world, Akila Shakti Avabodhaka, O awakener of all their potencies. So that's describing him as the super soul, giving power, inspiring the life of all the living entities. And then, Kvachid Ajayatmana, Aja, Chacharato Nacharin Nigamaha. Sometimes the Vedas can describe you. How does the translation say it? As you sport, Ajaya Atmana Chacharato. The Lord is moving around with his Aja, with his material energy, and Atmana, with his personal energy. He's consorting with his material and spiritual energies. Sometimes the Nigama, Nigama means Shruti or Veda. Sometimes Anucharate, the Vedas are able to follow you. You're moving around, they're following behind you and describing you. Sometimes. Okay, so this is the very first verse of the prayers. The personified Vedas, right at the start, are acknowledging that the Supreme is a complete person, and that they, the Vedas, can at least sometimes describe him directly. Continuing the commentary, bhakti, where does bhakti come in here? Sorry? Yeah, but I'm seeing how it comes out of the verse. Anyway, the Vedas only reveal the Supreme Lord as a person when there is devotional service. The devotional service is a prerequisite to any revelation of the Lord as a person.
The very last sentence, he says that something that is different from him could not make him show himself. So it must be non-different from Krishna, bhakti and Krishna himself.
Yes.
It has to have the same nature.
Okay, so only bhakti can reveal the Supreme Lord. Only bhakti can control the Supreme Lord. So here the commentary says, bhakti is the only means to attract the Supreme Lord. No other power can conquer him. simply hearing and chanting his names and glories, even done by sinful persons, wins him over as the envoys, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, told the messengers of Yamaraj. The Vishnu Dutas say, Stenat Surapo Mitra Drug Brahmaha Guru Talpagaha Srivaja Pitra Gohanta Yecha Pataki No Pare Sarvesham Apyagavatam Idam Eva Sunishkritam Nama Vyaharanam Vishnur Yatas Tad Vishaya Matihi. Actually, those are the words that were quoted by Jiva Goswami, the last two lines. Nama Vyaharanam Vishnur Yatas Tad Vishaya Matihi. So this was spoken by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yamadutas. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a Brahmin, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord. Okay, so emphasis on the potency of chanting the Lord's name as the primary process of devotional service. Devotional service makes it possible. Some performance of devotional service, even by an imperfect person, makes it possible for the Supreme Lord to begin revealing himself as a person. And he does it through the Vedas. Okay, any comments?
I didn't understand. Like, we are discussing about whether Vedas can directly show Krishna or speak about Krishna. But yes, then why so many other things have come in between, like holy name and names of God, and what is this? What is the context? What is the link? Okay. Subject matter?
Well, it's because most people aren't ready to and don't want to hear about the Supreme Lord as he is. The Vedas are talking to all kinds of people, and most people want to hear something material. So therefore the Vedas present a material view in response to the desire of those who are reading the Vedas. Here, the personified Vedas say, Quachit, sometimes they present you directly. Not all the time. Trigunya Vishaya Veda, for the most part, the Vedas, at least without diving deep below the surface, the Vedas seem to be talking just about material topics. What to speak of worship of demigods, they just seem to be describing how to fulfill material desires. But that's an external appearance that the Vedas show, because that's what people want to see mostly.
Then how this holy name and other things, or what is the connection of holy name and this Ajita and this Jaya Jaya, what is the connection between this and the subject matter link? What is it?
Which subject matter?
I mean, I think our subject matter is Parikshit Maharaj question to Sukadeva Goswami.
The question is, how do the Vedas describe the absolute truth?
Yeah, directly.
And so the answer is, well, here's the Vedas talking themselves, and they say we at least sometimes do directly describe the absolute truth.
Okay.
So this is maybe just the affirmation, you know, the statement of the thesis. They still have to present their proof, but they're coming and saying, yes, we agree. We say, yes, we do describe the absolute truth directly as a person.
Thank you.
And they begin to give hints how they do it and why. They do by the power of devotional service. Although those who are not devotees don't see a person. Even when they read the Vedas, they just see all material things and impersonal absolute. But that's because they're not devotees. Those who are empowered by the special knowledge of devotional service, they can see in the Vedas description of the Supreme Person.
Jiva Goswami is quoting some evidences for that's the link, right?
Which evidence? I'm sorry, just get the...
From Bhagavatam, he's quoting some...
He's quoting from the Vishnu Duttas, yes. Sorry?
No, how to hold the mic.
Yeah. Well, he's commenting on the one word Ajita here. They're addressing him as Ajita, and then Jiva Goswami brings in that the name of the Lord makes him appear directly. Just by chanting his name, he's induced to show himself.
Okay.
So they're calling out his name. Of course, remember what they're trying to do here is wake him up. So they're calling out his name to wake him up. But that represents the living entities can call out the name of the Lord, and then he'll reveal himself.
Okay.
In response to their calling his name.
Okay.
Does that mean that the Vedas, they are going to describe Supreme Lord's power and his opulence, his glory, and they understand that they can do it only when Lord reveals himself to them, and therefore the only way to do it is to engage in devotional service to him, and they do one kind of devotional service, namely chanting his holy name in order to make him reveal himself through their words.
Yes. Yeah, they're saying, yes, we do. We do describe the Supreme Lord directly, but you can only see that if you chant the Lord's name. Then you can appreciate how we describe the Supreme Lord. If you don't chant the Lord's name, you won't see it.
I also have a question about the holy name, how it reveals Krishna. In one of his songs, Shubhaksantakura, he chants, it's the very first song of Sharanagati, Shikaya Sharanagati Bhagatera Prana, and then he says that one who chants prayers of Sharanagati or in the mood of Sharanagati, in this way, Supreme Lord, he is inclined to hear his prayers and reciprocate to him.
Yes.
So does it mean that it's not that we just have to somehow chant holy name, but we have to chant it in the proper mood, in the mood of Sharanagati. In this way, Krishna can reveal himself to the name.
Yes. We should chant with faith and devotion. But Jiva Goswami says even sinful person, where is that? Even a sinful person chants. Actually, I said that, but no. Anyway, you don't have to be perfect. I mean, he's quoting from the story of Ajamil, who was a very sinful person. He got success by chanting the Lord's names. Yes.
But it doesn't mention how he should chant his name.
Like, but he was helpless. Yeah, he chanted helplessly.
He said that it's the best process of atonement for thief and so on. But it should be in a proper mood. It's not that he just chanted.
Well, to get liberation, you need to chant free from offenses. Ajamil was sinful, but he wasn't offensive. So he chanted Namabhas, free from offenses, but no attraction. But he got, that will give liberation. Namabhas gives liberation if it's free from offenses. Okay, I think we'll move into the next paragraph. We have just enough time to do one more paragraph. Okay, maybe it's gonna, okay. Let's see, 15. Atta eva Baya dvesh adau sri murtir sportir iva sankhi dadava pi asya prabhava shriyate. So the potency, prabhava, of the Lord's names being chanted. Thus in the same way as the Lord's personal form manifests even in response to fear and hatred, so his name is potent even when spoken in indirect reference and so on. This is Namabhas. The demons hate the Lord, he still appears to them. He gives them his association and kills them. So, If you chant the Lord's name in direct reference, you're not really interested in him, you just happen to say his name. If it's not offensive, then it's a shadow chanting of the holy name, and the name will have the potency to reveal the Lord. It will certainly have the potency to free one of sins and give one liberation, Namabhas. Visheshatas chatra shruti vidvad anubhavav api purvam eva pramani kritau. We have previously cited as detailed evidence of this both the statements of Shruti and the experience of learned persons. In the commentary I specify where previously the statements of scripture and the evidence of saintly persons, their testimonies, where that's cited, where that backs this up, that even shadow chanting reveals the Lord. Anyway, we'll get to the commentary, we'll see that. Where the Sandarbha has already discussed that. On the basis of scripture and on the basis of the experience of devotees. Tasmad yat tatvam shri vigraha rupena chakshur adav udayate tadeva nama rupena vagadav iti stitam. So it is that the same truth that arises before one's eyes and other senses as the divine form of the Lord also becomes present in one's speech and so on in the form of his names. So, the whole argument is, how do the Vedas describe or reveal the absolute truth? Well, the absolute truth is not only revealed by his standing in front of you. You get his darshan. He's also revealed by simply hearing about him. And the Vedas do talk about him. The sound of his names and his descriptions is also his revelation. He also becomes present in one's speech and so on in the form of his names. Tasman nam namino sarupa bedena tat sakshat kare tat sakshat kara evetyatak kim vaktavyam. Certainly then, therefore, because the name and the person named are in essence non-different, when one is directly present, the other one is also. If you have the Lord there, then his name will be there, because the name and the Lord and the name are the same. If you are chanting the Lord's name or hearing the Lord's name, then the Lord is there, because he's non-different from his name. If you're actually chanting the name. Offensive chanting is not actual chanting, but shadow chanting counts. The Lord is revealed, is present. You may not be loving him, but he's there when you chant without offenses. Atak kim vaktavyam anyatra anyavad bhagavati shrutayopi jat yadi krita sangya sangi samketari vitya rudyadi vritti bis charantiti. Certainly then, the Shrutis as well refer to the personality of Godhead, and they do this in the same way as other texts. As other texts refer to other subjects, they refer to the Supreme Lord by the meaning of words established by conventional usage and otherwise, which meanings follow the pattern that names derive from categories and other entities refer to the things they name. There's an ordinary way that words work, that language works. Words, by convention, have different meanings. In a different language, different sounds stand as the words. You know, one language, the word is this. In another language, the word for the same thing is something else. It's a different sound. But in each language is a convention that connects each sound with each meaning. And the meanings are categories, qualities, substances, and so on, or what the words mean, right? Individuals or categories, like the name Dharmada Prabhu refers to an individual. The word Brahmachari refers to a category. The word saffron refers to a quality. So words can describe guna, jati, kriya, activities. These are what words normally do in ordinary language. Well, the Vedas are like that also. They use words to describe qualities, substances, categories, activities, but they can describe these in reference to the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth. So if, when an, or anybody utters the name of the Lord or hears the Lord becomes manifest, how come the Vedas can't do that? If the Vedas utter the names of the qualities or describe the qualities of the Lord, then he becomes revealed by those words of the Vedas, just like any other words would do that. Certainly, therefore, okay, the Shrutis as well refer to the personality of Godhead, and they don't do it by some mystic mumbo-jumbo process. They do it by the ordinary process, the way language works. They say words, the Vedas speak words, and those words have conventional meanings. But many of the meanings of the words of the Vedas are referring directly to the Absolute Truth. Yasam Shrutabhidanam Valinam Saksha Tata Bhutani Naman Yeva Palani Iti. The creepers, which are called the Shrutis, creepers like vines that grow on trees. The creepers, which are called the Shrutis, that's Vali, have as their fruit such names of the Supreme Lord. These names, these words that describe the Supreme Lord, these are the fruit of the creepers. What is the Sakalashruti Vali Satpalam Chitsarupam? This is Bhamma Purana. Utkarsham avishkuru iti anena itam sarvot krishtata guna yogena mukyayaiva vritya shrutayas tasmims charanti iti tarshitam. By the Shruti saying, Jaya, please reveal your supremacy. This shows that in this way, they, the Shrutis, do refer to him by the literal meaning of their words. Which describe him, the words of the Vedas describe him as endowed with supreme excellence. Just by their saying Ajita, that demonstrates how they use their words to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And by doing so, they induce him to reveal himself. Can I delete a word here? Okay. What kind of Shrutis do that? The Shrutis say sometimes we describe the Supreme Lord directly. Well, which Shrutis are those? Atra Shrutayo. Oh, I think I skipped a sentence, right? Yeah. Shrutayascha. Na te mahi twa anvashnuvanti. Or na tat samascha bhyadikat chudrishyate ityada. Okay, these are such Shrutis. The Shrutis that directly describe the Absolute Truth, describing his qualities, his activities, and so on, such statements of the Shrutis as, they cannot come near you and your glories. That is a statement from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Or, no one is seen greater or equal to him. That's a statement from the, I can't find it. I guess then I couldn't find that one. Okay, anyway, those two statements are not so specific that they're listing the actual qualities, but they're talking about the qualities. That nobody can describe all your qualities. Materialists can't understand your qualities. And you have so many such qualities, transcendental qualities. Okay, what we don't have is time to read the commentary. One more sentence here. Atra Shrutayo Jaya Jayeti Swabhakt Avishkarat Bhaktim Eva Tatprakashe Hetum Gamayanti. By revealing their own devotion in the words beginning, be victorious, the Shrutis are here implying that the cause of his manifesting himself is devotional service. So by their first words, the Shrutis are showing themselves to be devotees. They're talking like devotees. So that implies that the way that the Lord's going to be manifest is devotional service. Okay. One or two comments, and then we'll have to stop for now.
Just question grammatical in this quotation. Nate mahi, mahitvam anashruvanti. We have nate mahi, and then tvam.
Let me see.
I think it should be mahitvam.
Okay, I have a question. I have a comment already there. Let me see. Okay, you say that the words are not split up, right? But it's twam with a long a. I'll just put a question. Are the words split up correctly? You think it's mahitvam?
Mahitvam. Mahila.
Yeah, but it's not twam, it's twam. Here I have twam with a long a. Okay? If the word is, if it's actually the suffix twam, then it can't be long a. Anyway, I don't know where the reference is from, so I'm just guessing about the meaning. We'll have to dig up the actual text and then see what it is. But Jiva Goswami has it spelled like this. Twam with a long a. Okay. Okay, let's. Okay,
you said which kind of Shruti something.
Yeah?
You asked a question, which Shruti is saying this? Which kind of Shruti is saying about?
Well, what kind of Shruti is actually directly describe the Absolute Truth? So these are given as two examples of statements of Shruti that describe the Absolute Truth. They're doing it just barely. They're not getting very specific. It just says ordinary people can't describe your glories. They're just saying he has glories. They're not actually describing the glories. There are other places where the glories are described more specifically. But Jiva Goswami chose these two. They're really statements about the fact that the scriptures describe. The scriptures talking about the fact that the scriptures describe his qualities.
Sometimes they categorize the Shrutis into Saguna Shruti, Nirguna Shruti, and some other categories.
Yeah, there are different qualities.
Veda Shruti, Abheda Shrutis.
Like yes.
So, is it in any of those categories?
Like,
is this in any of those categories it falls? Like?
Well, these are obviously devotional Shrutis that are describing qualities. No? But it's not that you have one Upanishad belongs only to one category, another Upanishad belongs only to one. These Shrutis are mixed up. And the same sentence might be seen by different people to belong to different categories.
Okay.
What one person takes to be an impersonal description, another person may look at the same sentence and see something personal in it. Yeah?
I don't know, it might be case, maybe not the case. Mahi is glossed as Mahima, and Mahima is feminine glories. So if it's Vitya.
Mahi as a neuter noun is there, for the short I, it does exist.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the word is okay, but it's a little confusing how the whole phrase gets put together.
Yeah. So for example, if it's Mahi short for Mahima, Mahima, feminine word, which is the same as glory. So Mahima,
yes.
Mahima Tvam, the state of glory, gloriousness. So if it's feminine, it can be Dvitya Kavachana, Mahima Tvam.
I'm sorry, how does the Tvam fit in?
Mahitvam. So it's.
But Mahitvam, you mean you're putting it together into one word?
Yeah.
But Tvam What is that? The suffix twam, the neuter suffix?
No, feminine, feminine word mahima, mahi.
But no, but.
Oh, okay. Yes,
but yes, you don't get a twa on that. Mahima doesn't have a twa at the end. You know, there is no word mahitwam. Mahitwam you can have, but not mahitwam. Okay. All right, we'll continue tomorrow. We haven't read the commentary yet. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.